The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 20th of June, 2019. And I believe tomorrow is officially the first day of summer. Of course, here in Tucson, summer comes a lot earlier than what the calendar says. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. People listen to my program anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts since we've been launching this program way back in the first week of 2011, first week of January, all those programs available on my website, buckmastershow.com. You can check that out on your convenience 24/7. The live line number, 790-2040. If you have any health and wellness questions for Dr. Richard Carmona, Dr. Carmona would be delighted to hear from you. Well, airlines are turning to healthcare professionals to create new in-flight wellness programs. One of the world's top-rated airlines, in fact, just this week, Singapore Airlines, which has been 1 and 2 in the world's ratings. It was number 2 this week, but previously number 1. It's right up there as one of the world's great airlines. Tapped Dr. Richard Carmona, asked Dr. Carmona, a former Surgeon General who's now Chief of Health Innovation at the Resort Spa Canyon Ranch in Tucson, came to Dr. Carmona, and we'll hear about all of that and some of his ideas for wellness, at least on Singapore Airlines and in the industry specifically. Dr. Carmona was a vice admiral in the Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States. After 4 years as Surgeon General, Dr. Carmona returned to Tucson, where he is vice chair of Canyon Ranch Resort and Spa Company. He's president of the nonprofit Canyon Ranch Institute, a professor at the Mel and Eden Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. He began his medical career as a United States Army Special Forces Green Beret medic in 1967. He's a combat decorated Vietnam veteran. Dr. Carmona has had a successful law enforcement career. In fact, he was telling me right before he went on the air, 34 years with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. So he's been connected with the department for a long time. And he did try his hand at politics. In 2012, he became the Democratic Party nominee for United States Senate in Arizona, losing to Republican challenger Congressman Jeff Flake. Good to catch up with you again, Dr. Carmona. We try to bring you in at least every quarter or two, within 6 months, certainly, to our program. And this is your first visit since we've been in the new studio.
Yes, Bill. It's nice to be with you always, and love the studio. Nice digs you set up.
Yes, here. Very nice digs. Very comfortable. So how did this relationship, Dr. Carmona, with Singapore Air develop? And, of course, Singapore Air, for folks that don't know, have some of the longest flights in the world.
The longest.
Yeah, they've got a 19-hour flight from Newark International Airport to Singapore. That's a long time to be in the Silver Tube.
Yes, it is. What happened was Singapore rightfully thought about how can I make this experience something that would be enjoyable rather than just a terrible 19 hours. And they approached Canyon Ranch because Canyon Ranch has been in the business for 40 years of engaging guests around health and wellness and so on. And so we had discussions with them, and we came up with a plan that included everything from exercise in the plane, food, mindfulness, meditation, making videos for them so the person that sits in the seat would be able to learn while they're flying. The meals were co-designed by our chefs and their chefs, that they're very healthy. So we designed meals that were good for that long haul, seat exercises, mindfulness meditation, and the airline work with us so that we could adjust the lighting in the cabin.
Yeah, that's
because
very
lighting
important.
Is very important as it relates to when you sleep and when you wake. So all of those things were done by Canyon Ranch with the Singapore Airline experts. And the press we got was fantastic. The people love the flight, 19 hours. It's really changed these long-haul flights, and we're looking to expand that on other lines as well.
Did you take the flight yourself?
I did not. Yeah. In fact, I was offered, but I was not available.
Yes.
But we got reports back, and you know, the first flight, everybody was very satisfied with the experience, and we're not going to be complacent. We're going to continue to work with Singapore Airlines and others to see how we can make these long hauls much more friendly, amenable, and, you know, a happy experience.
You were quoted on this topic in the New York Times recently about, you know, the thing that is important is kind of the personalization of in-flight wellness. And you said it raised an important question about it's not just for, like, people flying first class or business class. What about those in economy?
And in fact, most of the people flying are in economy.
Yes, of course.
So the idea was at least to start spreading the information across to all of the people on the plane. Now, with Singapore, we started with their first in their business. But the idea is it's as we grow and scale up, that this is information that would be available to everybody on a flight like that.
So it started off in first and business, but hopefully it will work into the other class.
Well, we're in our infancy. This has never been done before.
Yeah.
So we're just starting, and they chose, let's start here. And as we move forward, we'll see how we can scale it up, and hopefully it goes viral, so to speak.
You have traveled the world. Some folks deal with the whole jet lag matter better than others. How do you handle it? And what are some of your tips for handling jet lag?
I travel very frequently last year, several hundred thousand miles. And,
I know. You travel all over the world.
Yeah. And so, you know, what we do and what we suggested to the travelers in Singapore, start planning a day or two in advance. Start thinking about where you're going to go, what's the time difference, when are you going to go to sleep, when are you going to wake, what kind of foods are you going to eat. So, in other words, start warming up for the trip. And then once you're on the trip, you have a plan. You know how many hours. It may not be 19. It may be a 10-hour, 12-hour flight. What is it that you want to accomplish during that time? When do you want to sleep? When do you want to eat? When you end that flight, what do you have to do? Are you going right to work, or are you on vacation and can take a day to recover and then start? So building a plan that is unique, and that's what we call precision, because your needs when you land in London may be different than my needs, Bill.
Right.
You may have the luxury to take a nap and then be able to get into the routine in London. I may have to go to a meeting right away, so I would plan differently.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Carmona with us on The Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. There are so many health issues right now that we want to bring up with you, Dr. Carmona, and one of them, of course, is the situation with the e-cigarettes. We have San Francisco now deciding whether or not whether the city by the bay will become the first United States city to ban e-cigarette sales. We have this whole issue with what's called vaping. Many public health experts believe that this whole uptick in e-cigarette use among young people is a national epidemic. Where are you on this topic?
Well, I think we have to take the bias and the partisanship out of this and look at the science. There is a group of health professionals who believe that e-cigarettes, and that's a misnomer because I want to correct, there is no tobacco in e-cigarettes. This is simply liquid, water, vapor, and then nicotine. So it's much like a nicotine patch or nicotine gum to those people who believe it can be used for what's called harm reduction in public health. Now, there are others that think, no, you're just going to addict people to this substance, the nicotine. So where I am on this is I think there is information to suggest that we haven't come to the final answer yet, but it may be a useful adjunct in reducing people's addiction to nicotine and to getting them off tobacco. Because if you get your nicotine hit and you're satisfied, but you're getting it without the combustible carcinogens that cause cancer and can lead to other diseases, heart disease and so on. But it is a very contentious debate because some people don't want to even consider it. Others say, well, yes, if we only use it for harm reduction, it's good. The risk is that some children are starting to use it. They get addicted. People are saying it is a gateway to tobacco use. Not necessarily. That hasn't really been proven yet. So I think there's room for discovery here. What's interesting is in the UK, they have accepted it in their national health system as a method of harm reduction, and they pay for it for people.
Wow.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So their scientists have seen it through a different lens.
Uh-huh.
In our country, there's still a division.
Yes.
So I think from my standpoint, if it's only used for people who are addicted to nicotine, mm-hmm. and we can get them off the combustible carcinogens, mm-hmm. tobacco, mm-hmm. I think that's okay. I am concerned, like everybody else, that children should not have it. It should not be sold to anybody that is in the childhood age. Mm-hmm. FDA should regulate this. And the companies that have come to me to speak to me, I said, if you really believe in this, then you need to go to the FDA, ask to be regulated. Let's make sure of the purity of this of the substances that are being used, et cetera, to benefit the public.
Why don't we talk about the whole situation with youth and this the whole uptick in vaping, but let's save that for the second segment with Dr. Richard Carmona. We'll be back with Dr. Carmona after I tell my listeners, Dr. Carmona, about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open for breakfast now each morning at 6:30. Owner and chief baker Steve has made a large investment in the new grill, so they've got so you can do the full hot breakfast up there at Mona's, and they're open right now not only for breakfast but for lunch. And the bread that comes out of their ovens is just amazing, a wide variety of bread for your sandwich right now at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Also, there's a link to Mona's and a link to all of the great partners who make this program possible at buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Richard Carmona, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, do so right now, please. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're speaking with the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Richard Carmona. Had a nice Facebook mention for Dr. Carmona a few moments ago. I was checking Facebook. Bill Buckmaster, one of our friends, Theodore, writes, "What an incredible guy Dr. Carmona is. Such a distinguished career in life. I was honored to meet him a few weeks ago at my Marriott property in Phoenix. He's totally unassuming." That nice comment for you there, Dr. Carmona.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're talking about e-cigarettes and tobacco. Were you ever a smoker or drinker?
No. I mean, I did. I would say, I had my teenage years where beer and some drinking. Mm-hmm. But once I went into the military, that stopped, and I didn't. And my parents were challenged with alcohol problems, so I learned quickly, watch it destroy family. Smoking, no. And, you know, as poor as I was, I couldn't afford tobacco if I wanted it, so I never smoked.
Now, one of your big issues was, of course, secondhand smoke.
Yes.
While you were the Surgeon General. A couple of things come to mind here. How about secondhand smoke with marijuana?
Well, there is a body of information that's significant there. So that the challenge we have is if you're living in a home with somebody who's smoking marijuana, and let's say you're a police officer, let's say you're a soldier, and you get tested, you'll test positive even though you're not smoking.
Really?
So that's there's a danger. And what if you're a pregnant lady that's in that house with somebody who's smoking?
Wow.
The baby could be affected as well. So secondhand smoke is a real problem in marijuana and regular tobacco, except that in marijuana you have different chemicals, the hallucinogenic effect, and other chemicals in there that can be deleterious to your health.
Marijuana, and I want to get back, we'll get back to e-cigarettes, but while we're on marijuana, we're seeing state by state join the chorus. Where's this leading, Dr. Richard Carmona?
Well,
where are we going with this?
The chorus is kind of wide because we're talking about states legalizing marijuana. Then there's CBD, which is one of the extracts from that, okay, cannabidiol, which is being attributed to all kind of health benefits, yet none of them have been proven. There's only one...
Yeah, there's creams and stuff.
I see this over at
the mall now.
In
they're
food,
selling it. Yeah.
And yet there's no science to support any of that. There's one FDA-approved use right now, and it's still experimental, for a drug to treat youngsters who have resistant seizures. That's the only one. But yet, this has become a multi-billion-dollar industry. On the other side, you asked about the marijuana.
Yeah, yeah.
It is still illegal in the United States for a physician to prescribe marijuana unless you have special permission for research purposes. It's called a Schedule I drug. So the federal government could arrest and take a license away from any doctor. They choose not to, but it's still illegal in the United States.
The federal government could say no more marijuana and all these states that have legalized it.
Well, the problem is, Bill, it's a state versus federal issue.
Right.
And a lot of the states, like Arizona, have said, well, we're going to go ahead and legalize it. To me, that was a mistake only because we called it a drug. The governor at the time said, okay, we're going to let it be used for medical reasons. But it hasn't been tested. We didn't know what the dose should be. We didn't know what diseases it should be used for. So a lot of random things happened. We didn't know what the long-term side effects were going to be. A physician can't give informed consent on it. And then there's different potencies of marijuana. Okay. So all of that hadn't been answered. My contention then was, if you're going to use it as a drug, let's test it as a drug so that the public is fully aware of the risk and benefits. And we're not there yet.
Ingrid called us at 790-2040. Ingrid would like to join in the conversation about cannabis. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Dr. Carmona. We missed you at the Duval Auditorium, by the way, where you sometimes appeared.
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question? I missed the beginning of it.
We missed you at the Duval Auditorium. You were there at least once. And, where lectures are given.
Oh, yes. I've spoken there many times. I've been on the faculty for many years at the university.
Yes, and so you're missed. I missed some of what you were saying while I was being screened to get on the air.
Okay.
With regards to marijuana, the cannabis, and secondhand smoke from it. It is a very, very serious problem in apartment-like settings because the stuff spreads all over the place through gaps in the vents and the ductwork that the vents go through and so forth, the channels. And you said you were with the Pima County Sheriff's Department for a long time. Apparently, some of them don't seem to think it's a serious issue, and it's creating a lot of problems for people.
Okay,
I am one of them. And what you said about testing drugs, testing it as a drug, yes, that's exactly what it should have mm-hmm. happened before its legalization. People thought that people were going to be taking this stuff as like a pill, a drug.
Okay,
but no, you just smoke it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Carmona, what about this e-cigarettes and secondhand smoke there? Is this an issue or no?
Well, it's much lesser of an issue. There is no carcinogens. Again, this is a propellant of water, glycol, mm-hmm. and then it has nicotine. So it's a nicotine delivery system, essentially, these e-cigarettes. And so if you're exposed to that, a person could potentially get nicotine in their system. But the fact is that it's not like secondhand smoke from marijuana or regular tobacco, which has carcinogens in it. So again, I think it's best you stay away from any of those, anything that you're going to inhale. But of all of them, it would be the less toxic, least toxic.
But this is an epidemic of this, what they call vaping, teen vaping. And what do we do about this?
That's a different issue. I mean, they have these vaping parlors, you know, that they have the hookahs that they smoke, you know, those all those kind of things. I say I would separate that from the e-cig issue, because the e-cig issue, there's a legitimate reason to consider that there could be use for harm reduction. But outside of harm reduction, I'd say no. Children should not have access. It shouldn't be used. We don't want people addicted to nicotine. The hookah thing is that it's just kids think it's cool and they smoke. This is something that's very common in the Middle East. And again, you're putting substances into your body that don't belong there that can be harmful in a whole host of reasons, pulmonary disease, cancers, and so on.
Well, should the government, and I don't hear the current Surgeon General speaking about this. I know you're called upon a lot to talk about this issue, but what are we going to do about this with the kids?
Well, the best thing we could do is educate our children to stay away from it. The challenge, of course, is in a democracy is that you have the ability to make individual choices. And sometimes those choices actually create a problem for bigger society. So often you have a state's right versus a federal right, or an individual who chooses to do something. And for instance, smoking. The fact is, you could say the government should outlaw tobacco. I went through that as Surgeon General, but there's a lot of special interest groups that say, no, you can't do that. And it's a right of an individual to smoke. But that person is polluting the air, and that pregnant mother is breathing that in, and then the baby is affected. So the government then has to decide, am I going to intervene for the greater good of society and extinguish the rights of an individual who are harming the greater goods of society? And this goes on in a whole host of areas, not just tobacco, but in a whole host of areas where there's individual rights versus the collective right of society.
Is tobacco still a growth industry worldwide?
Yes. Yes.
How big?
Well, it's multi-billion dollar. But what's happened is we've clamped down here, so you don't see billboards, you don't see advertising on TV.
No.
But the tobacco companies have moved offshore. So if you travel around the world, you'll see billboards, you'll see TV ads, you'll see movies where they're still smoking. And we don't allow that here in the United States anymore.
What's the number one health issue in this country, Dr. Richard Carmona?
The number one health issue, I think, is, I would say broadly, would be all of the preventable disease we have in society. We're spending 19% of our GDP on what we call health care. It's really sick care. That's about $3.3 trillion a year of the budget, almost $1 in $5. And the important thing for the public to understand is that 75 to 80 cents of every dollar we spend is spent on chronic diseases that we cause by being sedentary, obesity, smoking, not wearing a seatbelt, not wearing a helmet, engaging in high-risk activities. 3/4 of the budget is being spent on things that we cause. That's the biggest problem.
We can't seem to get to the over the hurdle of realizing how important preventable diseases are. Why is that?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge of being in a democracy. I want to smoke. I don't want to wear a seatbelt. I want to eat what I want. You can't tell me what to do.
I want to ride a motorcycle without a helmet.
And but the problem, and there you bring it up again, Bill, the problem there is that each of those individual decisions has an impact on us as a society, because we end up subsidizing those poor decisions as far as tax dollars paying for the care.
I've only got about a minute, but I just thought, with all of your history and the Vietnam and the way we're right now veterans are kind of caught between, are they going to be over in a private health care system? Is the VA going to be dissolved? What are some of your thoughts quickly, please?
Well, I've sat on a number of those committees and worked with the last several secretaries of the VA, especially when I was Surgeon General. I think the VA has some of the best care in the world. Again, this is not an opinion. If you look at many metrics, they're the best. The VA is the largest funder of medical education in the United States for our residents, our medical schools, and so on.
We have a good VA here.
Oh, yeah, we do. But that's not to say they're perfect. There's problems.
Right, sure.
There's problems. My sense is that the veterans want their VA because they were promised that. But where a veteran is geographically displaced and can't get there because they live in a rural area, then it's okay to go to a private provider that then works with the VA so we know that you're getting good care. Because we don't want to exclude a veteran who happens to live in a rural area, for instance. But I think it's going to be very difficult to dissolve the VA because the veterans and the special interest groups supporting them don't want that to happen.
Reflecting a little bit here as a final question, how did the whole Vietnam experience as a Green Beret and as a medic, how did that shape your future years, the rest of your life?
Well, being in the Army and Special Forces really was the foundation that allowed me to be successful the rest of my life. The discipline, the duty, honor, commitment to a mission, understanding how to accomplish a mission. And of course, as a young man, being exposed to combat on almost a daily basis, I mean, it changes you. You never come back the same way. And it opens your eyes. I mean, most of us went over. We didn't understand complex policy of Asia at the time. Our government told us to go. And, you know, many years later, you start reflecting and going, gee, why were we there? Did this Gulf of Tonkin thing really happen? Was there really a domino effect? So largely we become pawns in this, and yet we need a strong military. Mm-hmm. But I think I always think about what Teddy Roosevelt said, you walk softly, you carry a big stick, and diplomacy is usually the best way forward. But diplomacy works best when people know that you have the strength to act when and if you need to. And we need to use that strength judiciously.
Dr. Richard Carmona, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you in a few months. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Richard Carmona with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. When we continue after the mid-show break on Buckmaster, how in the world do you sell Tucson in this hot weather to tourists? How do we get people to come here in the summertime? We'll explore that right after this on Buckmaster.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our Buckmaster Show listeners over to this beautiful portion of the Land of Enchantment, the southeast corner. A lot of these people have lived in Tucson all their lives, and they have no idea that just 3 hours from Tucson is this really beautiful place, about a mile high elevation, 5,500 to 7,000 feet. So that's an easy sell in the summer. You know it's going to be cooler over in Silver City. There are a lot of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. They have their big event of the year coming up. It's the Silver City Clay Festival, which is an annual celebration of all things clay in the Southwest. And there'll be all sorts of hands-on workshops, exhibits, tours. So check it out, July 15th through the 21st in Silver City, New Mexico. Another one of the great Buckmaster Show partners. There's a link to all of our partners at buckmastershow.com. And speaking of getting away, how do we have people get away from really all over the world to come to Tucson in the summer? And this is an appropriate conversation because tomorrow is officially the first day of summer, but of course summer comes in Tucson a little earlier than that. Lee McLaughlin is with us. Lee is the Senior Director of Marketing at Visit Tucson, and I have not met Lee, so this is my first time meeting you. Lee, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Bill. It's good to meet you.
Thanks you very much for coming into studio. And Dan Gibson, who is no stranger to the Buckmaster Show. He contributes once a month on our Fox Tucson Theater Art Support. Dan sits in for me when I take vacation. He's usually good enough to kind of do a deep dive into different areas of tourism. Last time in May, Dan, it was about the film industry.
It was. We had Matthew Earl Jones of the Arizona Film and there's a bunch of words in his title,
right,
but yeah,
right.
It's great.
Film and media.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Coalition.
Yes, it feels right.
Sounds official.
Yeah, it totally does.
Dan is Director of Communication at Visit Tucson. Before we talk about summer tourism, about film, is the Tucson Film Office part of Visit Tucson, Lee?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So division of Visit Tucson, but they kind of existed as a separate entity from the MTCVB, as we were previously known.
Right.
But now they are part of our office, and they do a lot to bring economic development into the region. Of course, a lot of that ends up turning into room nights, you know, heads in beds, as we like to talk about. So definitely aligns with some of the goals that we have as an organization.
And Shelley is still heading it?
Yeah, Shelley Hall. She is the director of the Tucson Film Office, or Film Tucson, as we lovingly call it.
I mean, old Tucson set the stage for Tucson, set the stage back in 1930.
I see what you did there.
39. and at one time, we were really kind of an epicenter in the Southwest for filmmaking. Generally, are things getting better, Dan Gibson, in that area?
Well, it's a little bit of a, you started with a dip once this film incentives problem happened, where the state wasn't providing tax incentives to filmmakers. Then, yeah, the world of like feature film left Tucson and Arizona as a whole in a hurry. The upside now is that you do have more people coming for for commercials, for non-scripted entertainment, what people call reality shows, or even the film office works with fashion shoots. So the newest Anthropology catalog has Tucson in it. So really? I think, yeah, it's awfully pretty. People like the ranch look.
If it's see, a that's ranch not, and that's and not going to make news headlines at, like a movie, a big movie feature being in town. But these are people that bring business to Tucson, right, Lee?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, Dan mentioned a lot of different areas. You know, commercials, reality TV shows. So in the absence of those big budget productions, you know, massive crews coming in from outside of the market, our film office really works to bring in some of those smaller productions, but you know, incrementally see some growth there and still provide some pretty serious impact to the region.
Well, it's also what it costs, right? When you look at film incentives in general, not to, you know, the argument is still being made whether those are worthwhile because of the cost it takes to the community, those tax breaks. What we're doing with an Anthropology or a French film shoot for a music video, there isn't a huge expense being put out by Visit Tucson or the municipality or the state. So it's all basically net positive. Mm-hmm. And what's been great about that and having them in the office is that, you know, if a non-scripted show comes through through our PR department, which has happened recently, or through Vamos a Tucson, the Mexico marketing department, it allows us to work together to sort of make that stuff happen. Patty Chinich, what was the name of the show?
Patty's Mexican Table. Yeah, it's a PBS show.
And that's coming this year. And that was something that came through the Mexico office because Felipe met Patty at an event. Then we worked with her in PR on getting her an itinerary, the marketing department, you know, and then we can do all these things together. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, it's not fundamentally different in a lot of ways, what's happening in film with a marketing opportunity that we might be presented with or a PR opportunity. It's like, what are the resources we can put to get more attention to Tucson?
I have seen in 31 years here in the media market such an evolution with what is now called Visit Tucson, Lee. It had a long name, the predecessor, Metropolitan Tucson
Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And whoever finally decided to jettison that and put that into the rearview mirror, kudos are certainly in order. And Visit Tucson just so much easier, of course, for people to get the connection with. Before it was like convention, what, you know.
Even the acronym MTCVB was quite a mouthful. On its own.
So ungainly.
So how has that evolution changed when it comes, say, to Tucson in the summer? One thing that hasn't changed, in fact, maybe you could say it has changed, it's gotten actually hotter in the summer here, and being on the kind of the front lines of climate change, temperatures have been going up. So how, Lee, general question, how do you market this area?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Bill. I'd say as it relates to, you know, overall our branding process of moving to the name Visit Tucson and kind of coming up with this brand and the tagline, Free Yourself, you know, that rollout, that happened 6 years ago this coming July. So it's been a while. And so over the course of that time, we've really been able to develop our tactics and our strategy across, you know, all different markets that we're talking to. And of course, seasonality is a huge component of that. So while, you know, in that high season time frame in the winter months where it's colder in the Midwest, mm-hmm. the Northeast, that's when we're really focusing on those markets, you know, New York, Chicago.
That's the easy sell.
Exactly. And that's something that, you know, Tucson has been benefiting from for, you know, as long as anyone can remember, right?
The Sunshine Club in the 1920s.
Exactly. I mean, Dan's got his button
that's
on.
That's it. I mean, that's what this area has been all about.
The Sunshine Factory after that for a little while.
And, you know, and Dude Ranch.
Absolutely.
Wasn't this at one time in kind of the Dude Ranch capital of the world?
I still argue it is. There were literally hundreds of Dude Ranches. Uh-huh.
Speaking of Dude Ranches, and we'll get back to summer tourism in a moment, but I did see something about Tankaverde Ranch is going to be doing kind of these tented opportunities, which kind of hearken to the African safari tented deal that I've been lucky enough to do on the Maasai Mara. But now they're going to be doing some tented opportunities for Dude Ranch.
Yeah, they just started that this past year, and it's through a company called Under Canvas. Dan knows quite a bit about this, and even some folks from our PR department got a chance to go out there and kind of experience it firsthand. So
it's an amazing opportunity. Like Under Canvas does work at different near different national parks around the country, where they set up these, you know, glamping. It's definitively a thing, and people want that, you know, luxury experience. They want to be outside. They want to be connected to nature, but they also want bathrooms, say, which, you know, that connection happens. And they have a variety of tents at different prices, and they're lovely. I mean, and you're right there next to Saguaro National Park. And the upside of Under Canvas there is that you still have access to what Tanque Verde Ranch has, which is a spa, which is the cookout meals, the activities, and
so
all that
stuff. So they
kind
of share the facilities there then at Tanque Verde Ranch.
Exactly. The tents are amazing. They're, it really is. It's a nice asset to sort of, in the most cynical way, right? When you start marketing speak there, it's an asset. And, you know, it's something for us to talk about, and it's a great way to experience the beauty of the Sonoran Desert.
Yeah. I guess you could do it in the summer.
They shut down during the summer.
In the summer,
I guess you
I
could.
I wouldn't recommend
you
it.
You could, but would you want to?
Exactly. And so I think, you know, scrolling back to your initial question about how we market Tucson in summer, we do have to contend with some of that stuff where, you know, not it's definitely not our high season for events, and there are, you know, certain places that will shut down or go on a bit of a break. You know, even some of the restaurants will close down for a couple weeks during summer. So what we really try and focus on with our summer marketing campaigns is, you know, things that that are great for people in the summertime, both locally, and then of course a huge focus for us in the summer is the Phoenix market. You know, they're our number one market in terms of overall visitation to Tucson, in terms of volume. So they're a heavy focus for us year round, but in summer specifically we really set our sights on the Phoenix market and try and get people to come down because there's some great value down here for them. We do have excellent resorts. You know, we tend to say that it's a little bit cooler down here, so we'll hang
I
our
say
hat
14
on that,
degrees, so. But I'm not sure that's actually that might be something I made up.
Depending on the day.
Don't ruin it for me, Bill. It's a good hook.
That's what marketing's all about, right? We got to spin stuff every once in a while.
And before we take the break, I want to tell a personal story about some Swiss people that we met in the Bahamas a year ago, and they visited us a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of a three-week Western road trip, and I think they're going to be wrapping up week three this weekend. But they started in Tucson, went up to Monument Valley, did Bryce, Zion. They wanted to go to Death Valley so they could get some pictures to send back to their Swiss friends.
Sure, that's bold.
You know,
for
so
the gram.
I think my point here is that for some in Europe, Tucson is really kind of an exotic summertime destination.
Absolutely.
That is really appealing.
And you mentioned the Dude Ranches earlier. That's something that is extremely popular with the European market, you know, specifically Germany.
Germans. Germans love cowboys.
Austrian, Switzerland.
Exactly. The opportunity to be a cowboy for a day is pretty appealing to them.
So, I mean,
isn't it appealing?
But it's just amazing to me. And then from Death Valley, they went to Sequoia, Yosemite. I think they touched on Napa. How they then wound up from Napa down to Monterey.
and then up
to San Francisco, where they'll be concluding their trip and their flight back to Zurich. But anyway, so Germans and Swiss, certainly Austrians, love this area. But words of caution, Lee and Dan, to these hikers that they need to, and I'm sure a lot of our resorts hammer this point home about dehydration.
Absolutely. You know, whether you're local or from out of town, you know, I think us locals are more accustomed to it or acclimated, but water is important. They say, you know, about a gallon per person
there
if you're
you
out
go.
Taking a hike. I always recommend just starting early if you can. That helps out. And don't bite off more than you can chew.
That's Lee McLaughlin, the senior marketing, senior director of marketing at Visit Tucson. Dan Gibson's also with us, director of communication at Visit Tucson. Dan, you know what I'm going to talk about next. We've talked about Mona's.
Okay.
We've talked about Silver City. Who would be my next next mention.
Gosh, could
they're,
it be
they're
that?
A favorite nursery of all
is it the
things.
Fine people of Green Things?
It is Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And Dan, they're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And the exciting news is this is a 13-acre site. It's now gone beyond what you need for the garden.
Oh.
Zocalo, for years, had a wonderful shop over by Country Club and Broadway with
all that
great merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Well, now Zocalo is part of the Green Things family. In fact, there's a whole Zocalo village on the 13-acre site with five shops of Zocalo Village. So
revamp your whole house, it's like your whole casita.
There you go. So it's a destination now in itself here. Speaking of destinations for our friends from Visit Tucson, well, now we have a mini destination within Tucson at Green Things. It's greenthingsaz.com. We'll be right back with Dan and Lee talking about summer and tourism right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This half hour, we've been talking tourism. Lee McLaughlin is with us, Senior Director of Marketing, and Dan Gibson, Director of Communications at Visit Tucson. We've been talking about summer tourism, but generally, Lee and Dan, how would you characterize, I assume Visit Tucson works on a fiscal year, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's get the look here as we close out the fiscal year for 2019.
Yeah, so we run a July to June fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, as we mentioned before, a lot of that just kind of breaks down to seasonality for us. You know, we can close our books in the low season, see how everything performed in the high season. adjusts budgets accordingly. You know, that's when a lot of our funding and revenue numbers are coming in. So just from a timing standpoint, it works out. It's pretty common with our types of organizations and others in general. So, and then, you know, as it pertains to marketing, that's where we really do that cutoff. You know, we kind of have a shoulder season through high season and into spring kind of plan where we're really focusing on markets, you know, outside of Arizona. Then summer, the focus is really Phoenix, other drive markets. And then we've started to shift some focus to Tucson. So right now, our summer campaign that we're running, you can see it at othersideofsummer.com. Mm-hmm. The whole concept behind that is, you know, really showing people some of the fun things that maybe they don't always think about as Tucson as a summer destination. You know, it's not always our favorite time of year as locals, but it's our job to kind of put some of those great things out there. So on that landing page, we have awesome hotel deals, restaurant deals.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about, the hotel deals. This is the price point drops dramatically in the summer. So if someone is want, like our my European friends, they wanted to stay at a nice resort, so they were at Ventana Canyon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the price point was very, very attractive.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, in our business, it's funny because you think of low prices as being a definitively good thing. And in a way, you know, our job is to sort of push those up, right?
Sure.
Is to get to create more demand so that people are getting more for the rooms. Mm-hmm. And the summer this year is looking like the rates will be up over previous years. But there are still these incredible deals to be found. I might think, you know, not to pick favorites, but Hacienda del Sol, for example, has $90 on their classic rooms all summer long, which for that property and to eat at the Grill or Terraza, things like that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Lowe's has a bunch of family-oriented deals.
Wyndham now is part of the Westward Look, is part of the Wyndham family. That's one of their signature resorts now, and I'm sure they've got summer specials as well going on. But I think what we're seeing in the kind of luxury high-end market, you are getting the price point up just around the year-round, which is good news.
We've had, I think it was out of the fiscal year, I mean, obviously the numbers haven't come in for the end of the summer or for this part of the summer, but we've had, I think there was 1 month, January, where the year-to-year performance was down, and that was partially because none of the gem show dates were in January this year. Mm-hmm. So consistently, every month you're seeing that we're a RevPAR, which, you know, every time I say RevPAR on the Buckmaster show, you have to put a money
acronym.
To take a drink.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a revenue per available room. The idea of what each room is making per night. Mm-hmm. And so that number has been up consistently.
You know, and I travel a lot and I see other cities that have huge tax deals on the room rates, which can go like places like in the Bahamas, 30%, or the San Juan area in Puerto Rico has a very high taxable room rate. So how is Tucson? We're kind of low, I know.
Yeah.
We're not at 30%, certainly.
It depends on where you're at. I mean, the municipality. So Pima County has a different tax rate than Tucson, which has a different tax rate than Oro Valley.
But generally, it's quite low.
Yeah, it's 14-some percent.
Yeah, I think comparatively to other destinations, and especially the ones that we look at in our competitive set, we're relatively low.
Albuquerque, you're comparing to maybe San Diego, or Albuquerque.
Scottsdale, Palm Phoenix. Springs, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Phoenix, of course. Yeah, so those are all firmly in our competitive set. And as Dan mentioned, you know, we've really seen some rate increases in that RevPAR, revenue per available room number, you know, overall average daily rate increases and occupancy increases. And we've kind of led our competitive set in those percentage increases, at least. We still have some work to do in terms of, you know, being up there as far as the rate goes, but we're feeling pretty good about the growth we've seen in Tucson.
All right, we never got to the convention end of the business. I have to bring you
it's
back
been great.
To talk about that. It's been
There's
really
the sum
good.
Of it. Yeah. And if people really want to know more about that, our annual meeting is next Wednesday at the JW Marriott Star Pass, and I believe there's still tickets available.
We're getting close to selling out, but
everyone's invited then, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, get yourself a ticket. Yeah. Crystal Washington will be speaking. It'll be
All
great.
All right. Lee McLaughlin, nice meeting you, Lee.
Thanks a lot,
Senior
Bill.
Director of Marketing. And Dan Gibson, it's good to see you again, Dan. Thanks for all you do here
Always
on the
pleasure.
Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of engineer-producer extraordinaire Bob Dio. Hope you have a great afternoon.